And you contrast, I did it. Remember in the message on James the Jerk, I read the opening phrases of James versus the opening phrases of Paul. What a contrast. Let's just do it again to refresh your memory. Let's try Galatians. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I guess I'd rather listen to an apostle than a servant. Paul, to the churches of Galatia. James, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Paul, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. James, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Paul, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. James, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, endurance, but let endurance have her complete work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. One leaves me kind of cold. The other one gives me hope. Now down here in Alexandria, it got real exciting choice too. Give everything away. Bid goodbye to your family. Go outside the wall. Live like this. The entire period intervening between dawn and evening is a religious exercise. You read the sacred scriptures and explain the philosophy of their fathers by allegory, looking for hidden meanings in the literal interpretation. Not a very attractive life. Now, Jesus said in the world you'll have tribulation, but there's no sense in manufacturing it. It abounds. These people tribulated themselves. These things seem to have been said by a man who listened to them as they expounded the sacred scriptures, Eusebius says, talking about Philo. And it is perhaps probable that the writings of the ancients, which he says were in the possession, in their possession, were the Gospels. Well, maybe. Maybe there was Matthew and Luke and John there, as well as Mark's Gospel. We'll see. Which he says were in their possession. And the writings of the apostles and certain interpretive narrations in the manner of the prophets, such as the Epistle to the Hebrews and many others of St. Paul included. I doubt they had much of Paul. Then again, in turn, he writes thus about their composing new psalms, so that they not only contemplate, but also compose songs and hymns to God in all kinds of meters and melodies, although of necessity arranging them in the more sacred measures. He discusses many other matters. With which our study deals, but it seemed that of necessity I should enumerate those by which the characteristics of the church's way of life are set forth. But if it seems to anyone that what has been said is not characteristic of life according to the gospel, but can be applied to others besides those indicated, let him be persuaded by Philo's words further on, in which he will obtain, if he be fair, undisputed testimony on this point. He writes as follows, quote, and all Eusebius is saying is, Philo describes the therapeutae and the therapeutids. or the Theraputrides. He doesn't call them Christians. That isn't strange. They were first called Christians at Antioch. If they were called Theraputi at Alexandria before the followers of Christ were called Christians at Antioch, and at Jerusalem they were called Ebionites, it would take some time for the world to decide, are these Theraputri the Ebionites, the Christians so-called at Antioch? They had already developed their own name. Now, by the 4th century, as Eusebius is quoting Philo, he in essence is saying, some may argue and say that these people being described in this way of life by Philo the Jew were not Christians. They were just Theraputri, whatever the hell they were. They weren't Christians. And Eusebius is saying, no, Philo was describing none other than those people known as Ebionites in Jerusalem and Christians at Antioch. And he uses this quote as further proof. They lay down for the soul continence as a foundation and build the other virtues upon it. No one of them would take food or drink before the setting of the sun. For they think that philosophizing belongs to daylight and the necessities of the body to darkness. And so they allot day to the one and a small part of the night to the other. Some also, in whom dwells a great love of knowledge, overlook bodily nourishment for 3 days, and some so delight and fare so sumptuously at the banquet of doctrines, provided so richly and without stint by wisdom, that they abstain for twice the time, having become accustomed scarcely to taste necessary nourishment every 6 days. We believe that these statements of Philo, clear, Eusebius speaking now, and irrefutable, have reference to those of our communion, meaning Christian. If after this anyone should still stubbornly deny it, let this person cease from his incredulity, giving way to clearer proofs which cannot be discovered among any except only among the religion of Christians according to the gospel. No one else except Christians, Eusebius says, qualify for the next set of descriptions by Philo. For he says that women also are among those about whom we speak, most of whom are aged virgins, who preserve their chastity not by compulsion as some of the priestesses among the Greeks, but rather by a voluntary purpose, through a zeal and a desire for wisdom, by reason of their longing to live with this wisdom, they disregarded the pleasures of the body, longing not for mortal but immortal offspring, which only the soul in love with God can bear of itself. Then a little farther on in the text, he sets forth the following more emphatically. The interpretations of the sacred scriptures are made among them figuratively in allegories. For the whole law seems to these men to be like a living thing, and to have as a body the spoken precepts, and as a soul the unseen sense lying within the words, which this sect has begun especially to contemplate, for as through a mirror of words it beheld the surpassing beauties of thoughts. Why, besides this, should we mention their gatherings together, how the men live separately and the women separately in the same place, and their customary religious practices which are observed by us even today, especially those which we are accustomed to observe at the feast of the Savior's Passion with fasting and vigils and attention to the divine word. The author mentioned has handed down all this in his own writing, Philo, that is, indicating in detail the very mode of life which has been observed by us alone even to the present time, describing the all-night vigils of the great feast and the exercises in connection with them and the hymns customarily recited by us, and how, while one sings regularly with cadence, the others listen in silence and join in singing only the refrain of the hymns, and how on the days mentioned they sleep on straw on the ground, and as he expressly wrote, refrain entirely from wine and any kind of flesh, but water is their only drink, and the relish with their bread is salt and hyssop. In addition to this, he describes the manner of precedence of those who have been entrusted with the services of the church and with the deaconships and with the high place of the episcopate at the head of all. Whoever has a desire for a detailed description of these things could acquire it from the account of the man already quoted. It is clear to everyone that Philo wrote all this having in mind the first heralds of the teaching according to the gospel and the customs handed down from the beginning by the apostles. That is Eusebius' rendition of Philo in his description of the Christian life called Therapeuty and Therapeutrides, which he drew from Philo and claims with much argument is a description of the Christian life in Alexandria in the time of Philo. Well, I warn you. Philo of Alexandria, born about 20 B.C., died about 42 A.D., stands as the leading exponent of the Jewish Alexandrian religious philosophy and in its influence upon the literature of the Christian church, its foremost representative. That means, if it's the same Philo, and he died in 42 A.D., there ain't any way he could be referring to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John as the writings in the possession of the Therapeuty. We got a problem here, haven't we? You want me to pursue it? Well, I'll prove it. There's one thing that is clear. If the Therapeuty were the Christians that early at Alexandria, they would rather philosophize than have sex. They'd rather have immortal children with a soul. And if Philo died in 42 A.D. and the church was full of aged virgins, boy, they aged awful fast with their life of abstinence. A sure way to get yourself to heaven quick is the implication. There's some problems here I got to delve into. But it is clear that once again we have a church emphasizing doctrine and law, not grace and peace. They didn't need grace. Considering their lifestyle, they didn't need it. James didn't need grace either. No wonder Paul had to go somewhere else to preach. It's like trying to tempt somebody with a drink of water that's swimming in a bubbling stream. I think we may be able to find out why the church departed from Paul, if you're interested.